Gospel lesson comes to us today from the Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter, 35th verse. Speaking of storms. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe, and said to one another, "Who is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart here be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So yes, it was a storm. And whenever we come to this passage, probably for the rest of my ministry, I will be compelled to share with you the story of the storm on the Sea of Galilee when we were in Israel in January this year. I've been through some storms. I mean, y'all know what we deal with, right? Hurricanes and whatnot. The occasional severe thunderstorm. And they are intense. But there is an ethereal quality, a surreality to the storms that arise on the Sea of Galilee. Our hotel was situated right there on the coast. From my room, I could look out and see the Sea of Galilee. It's an odd thing to realize. And one night as we finished our dinner, we were going to go and enjoy a night out. And it had started to rain. And it started to rain a little harder. And then the wind came. And y'all, this is intense wind. And not just a little bit of it. It blew for hours. Hard. Now, apparently there are some geological reasons for this. There's some mountain ranges and some air pressure variants and gradients that occur from Russia down across Turkey and into what is the Fertile Crescent. And so I won't bore you anymore, I hope, than I already have with that. But just suffice it to say that this is not an unheard of occurrence. That these storms come up in season from time to time. And when it happens intensely. Now, our hotel was a beautiful spot. It had one of those revolving doors in the front of it, you know, that if my children had been there, that would have been where they were for the whole 4 days that we were there. They'd have been going around and around in the revolving door. But it was all glass along the front. It was beautiful. And when this storm came up, there was actually a panel of glass that it blew out of the front of our hotel. I was astonished. The people who were there seemed less so. It was like, "Oh, it blew out again." And so they replaced it. But these storms are real and they are intense and they are scary in a hotel. All right? These folks were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, in the middle of it. Storms are scary. They're scary wherever we are. Now, we've had storms here. We've had hurricanes. We've had thunderstorms. We've had those kind of eventualities, and they can be scary. But we have storms in our lives that fill us with perhaps even more terror than the ones that are physical outside of us. It's those internal storms. It's those things that come up in our lives that seem to capture our attention and seem to disrupt everything around us. And everything that we took for granted becomes subject to this storm that has welled up inside of us. Storms have a lot of qualities. They can be sudden. We don't see it coming, but all of a sudden, there it is. We've had that on the afternoons around here. When they say, oh, doesn't look like rain today, but 30 minutes later, there it is. Dark cloud blows up right over us, and we don't get just a little bit of rain. We get a torrential downpour, and it's complete with wind, and we wonder, is there going to be a funnel cloud that just drops out of this thing? Those storms can happen quickly, they can happen intensely, they can happen unexpectedly, and that can happen in our lives. We can be rolling along and everything's just fine one day, and the next day, everything feels like it's coming apart. And it can be a diagnosis. Maybe you went to the doctor for a checkup, and the next thing you know, everything is changed. All of a sudden, you're preparing for chemotherapy and surgery. Those storms can happen in an instant. Maybe you get a phone call from one of your children that says, I don't know what to do. Those storms can happen suddenly and intensely. Sometimes you see it coming a long way away. You know, the hurricane season is upon us, and now, not so much anymore, but when I was a child growing up, the great event of the coming of the hurricane season was going to get the hurricane tracking map at the grocery store, drop that sucker right there on the refrigerator, and I knew how to graph better than anybody. And so I was out there, I was getting decimal points and latitudes and longitudes, and I had my ruler and I had everything, and I was intense. I knew exactly not only where the storms were, but where the previous storms had been. Loved it. Now with computers and cell phones, the magic of the hurricane tracking chart is vanishing, but we could see them coming, right? You could look at the storm and you could say, okay, well here it seems to be the direction that it's headed. Sometimes we can see those storms coming in our own lives. We see relationships that begin to slide off the rails. And you can say, this is going nowhere good. And so you begin to prepare the best that you can. You see financial difficulties coming down the road. If we don't change something now, our debt's going to overwhelm us. We can see all kinds of broken relationships and broken systems that, if we don't address them, are going to spin us off into the ditch or into some state of disrepair. We can see storms coming a mile away sometimes. And sometimes it can happen like it happened for my great-grandfather, who was walking home from the sawmill. The sky was bright blue and clear, but somewhere a few miles away was a thunderstorm. Never saw it, never expected it, but a lightning strike took his life on the way home from the sawmill out of a clear blue sky. These disciples gathered in a boat with someone they were coming to know. They didn't know Jesus fully at this point. They had some ideas about him. They knew that he was amazing, that he could do remarkable things, that he could heal, that he could preach, that he could teach. They knew that there was something different about him. They didn't know him fully yet. And so as they sat there in the boat being tossed and turned by those waves, their storm was every bit as real as the storms of our own lives. Their storm was right upon them, and they knew that this was life or death. And so they go back to the back of the boat, and they wake him up and say, "Do you not care that we are dying? Do you not care that we are perishing?" And that's our question a lot of times for God, isn't it? Their question for Jesus that day: do you not care? How many times in the midst of our own storms have we cried out, wondering, doesn't anybody care? Do you not care that we are dying? It's one thing to shout that question into thin air, to shout that question into the wind, into the rain, to shout that question as the lightning flashes all around us. It is another thing to direct that question to the Son of Man. Do you not care that we are perishing? I've said in sermons throughout my ministry that I think Jesus' posture with His disciples was probably one that many times was like this. I think that He had a constant tension headache right here from dealing with these disciples. Because as much as He teaches them, as much as He shows them, as much as He tries to reveal to them the reality that is the Son of Man present with them, they still come to Him with these questions like, "Don't you care that we're dying here?" And He's like, "Oh, of course I care. Hang on. Peace be still." And suddenly, the wind dies. The waves calm. And they say to Him, or they say to each other, "Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey Him?" Now, there's something unusual about this passage to me. Okay, right? Up to this point, you may have heard a sermon like this before, where we talk about the storms on the Sea of Galilee and we talk about the storms in our own life, right? You've probably heard this sermon before. Nodding along, "Yes, this is good. This is good, preacher. A little boring, but it's good." Here's the part that I think is interesting. This boat is a sailboat. Trying to see where I'm going with this? They're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in a sailboat that is being tossed and turned by the wind. They've probably dropped the sail way down or just taken it down entirely just to try and preserve the boat intact. So Jesus says, "Peace, be still," and the wind stops. Let's see what it says here. It doesn't just say stopped. It says, let's see, "Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm." You ever been sailing? What is the worst possible thing that can happen on a sailboat? A dead calm. How are they going to get where they're going? Jesus has stopped the wind and the rain around them. He has stopped the waves. It is dead calm. And they're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus, before He calms the wind and the rain, rebukes them for their lack of faith. faith matters only when the going is difficult. Anybody can have faith when it's easy. Anybody can have faith when you don't need it. It's only in the midst of the storm that faith matters. And so when Jesus calms the storm, He calms it and reveals to them that their lack of faith is never going to deliver them to where they want to go. This is the peculiar reality of this passage. We need the storms. We need the wind. We need the waves. Because it is in the midst of the storms that our faith is truly revealed. It's in the midst of the wind that we discover the power that Christ has given us, the power of faith that sees us through. I've sat at the bedside of many folks who are struggling with a diagnosis, asking that question, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" And they have said to me, and I know that you've heard people say this too, "I don't know how I could do this if I didn't have my faith. I don't know how people do this who don't have faith in a God that is with them in the midst of the storm." We have a God who is with us in the midst of the storm. God doesn't give us storms, but in it, God reveals to us something we can't see otherwise. That gift of peace despite the storm. That hymn that we sang for our offertory, "It Is Well With My Soul," is precisely a hymn that talks about peace despite the storm. It doesn't avoid the storm, it steers headlong into it and says, "Despite everything, my faith is strong." This is, thankfully, not a task that belongs to us alone. You don't have to have faith by yourself. Jesus calls disciples for a reason, because He knows that the challenges of this faith require people around us to hold us up, to nurture us, to care for us, to push us, to restrain us, to guide us, to shepherd us. We need each other to travel our path through the storm. Now, that doesn't mean we always have to be in agreement. It doesn't mean we always have to believe the same exact thing about every little thing. But what it does mean is that we make a commitment and a covenant to walk with each other, to be with each other, to support each other, and to care for each other. Because without it, we're all going to get wiped out by whatever storm there is around us. We need each other to be able to say, "We've got this. We can do this together." To hear that voice of Christ in us say, "Peace, be still." And all the storms of our life have not passed. They will come again. Just like sometime later this year, there'll be some kind of disturbance that pops up out there in the water somewhere, and we have to watch it intently. Just like maybe even this afternoon, there'll be a dark cloud that develops right over the top of us, and we'll have to quit cutting grass or playing outside, and we'll all have to come in and wait it out. It'll happen. There's storms coming. No question about it. But in the midst of the storm is where we find our faith. And in our faith is where we find our peace. Though the storm may rage around us, and though the storm may call us out of our comfort areas, though the storm may soak us to the bone, we'll find our peace through the faith we have in the one who is with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn is number 368, My Hope Is Built, and Forever. Amen.